Hey girl, welcome back to the Say Grace podcast. I'm registered dietitian and weight loss expert, Constance Shelby. I've helped thousands of women eat the foods they love while losing weight. I'm here to talk all things weight loss and women because you know it's never just about the food. So whether you're praying before a healthy home-cooked meal or driving the struggle bus right on through that drive-thru, sit with me and let's say grace. The holidays are upon us, and that brings a new layer of stress and exhaustion. Today, I want to talk about five areas that tend to affect us during the holidays. Overflowing schedules, underflowing finances, people-pleasing and the demands of others, grief, and turning to eating during these holiday months can sneak up on us and swallow us up whole if we let them. I'm going to share some of my experiences in this area and my thoughts on how to stay afloat this holiday season. So y'all, we are here. Like, we are here in these holidays. They are going to be, Halloween is already gone. They are, you know, Thanksgiving is coming. And then shortly after that, it will be Christmas. And so for me, I'm already in the Christmas spirit. It is so obnoxious to Jess, but like, I love to put up my Christmas tree right after Halloween. I feel like the sooner I get my decorations up, the longer I have to just kind of sit in the season. And so, I am one of those people that starts Christmas well before Thanksgiving has even come. But I will say that I haven't always been this way. I haven't always let myself be this way, but it's actually one of my kind of like tricks, I guess. I don't know. It's something that I realized about myself, that if I went ahead and got started with one of my quote holiday to-dos ahead of time, then I was able to, you know, exhale a little bit more during the holiday season. I really love Christmas decorations, and I love, you know, my tree. My tree is humongous, and I love to decorate it by myself. Like, no one else can, you know. Jess helps me a little bit for the things I can't reach, but like, my kids have their own trees because I am a control freak over my Christmas tree. So it takes some time, and it takes some thought and effort. And, you know, I have a lot of Christmas decorations, and so that takes time as well. And so I've just learned that if I get started on that sooner and finish it up sooner, then there's room in my brain for the rest of the things that comes with the holidays, because we know that there's so much that comes with the holidays, okay? And like, it's crazy because I know that a lot of us are just struggling to like survive in the normal days. And I know that, you know, even in the fall, I was just like, if I could just get through September and October. And then I'm like, oh, why? So that you can look up and it be November and December. Like, those are just as stressful, if not more stressful, you know? And so I know that we all have just so much going on as it is outside of the holiday things that come with these months. And so I think it's really important to kind of get ahead of the stress that is almost inevitable. And so if you don't believe me, I looked up some statistics, and studies have shown that 88% of Americans report being stressed during the holidays. 88% of Americans report being stressed during the holidays. And then another study showed that on average, more women than men feel stressed during the holidays. Imagine that. Because other studies show that women carry the weight of the planning and prepping and thinking through all the things for the holidays. So I want you to track back with me, okay? They're saying women carry most of the weight during the holidays. So on average, women feel more stressed than men during the holidays. But of those people, 88% of Americans report being stressed during the holidays. And I just feel like I'm going to go ahead and come up with my own statistic here. 100% of women are stressed during the holidays. I mean, because think about 88% of Americans, but then they just identified that women are more likely to be stressed. And so all I'm saying is, it's a thing, okay? And it's a thing whether we want to acknowledge it about ourselves or not. It's a thing. And so I today want to talk through some of like the bigger areas that just tend to be, for me personally, these areas are where I find the most stress, the most burden, or just kind of where I see the most stress and the most burden around the holidays. Not to say that they're the only things that can cause stress, but it's just kind of what my brain thought of as like the top five areas. And so also I'm going to kind of talk through some things I have done to help myself in these areas to then in turn lower my stress. But also, y'all, honestly, like, I'm still gonna be a lunatic around the holidays. I mean, I am, you know. Yeah, it's gotten better, but am I like the, you know, outlier that is not stressed during the holidays? Absolutely not. It has just been like season over season of trial and error for things. And so while I feel like I've got some tips and some ideas, I definitely am not the go-to for this topic, but here we go. Okay. So while I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself as well for a lot of this stuff. And so the first thing I want to hit on is schedules. Okay. Schedules during the holidays can be so ridiculously overwhelming. Okay. Like, okay. So not only, you know, our kids are still going to school, we're still going to work, we're still, you know, going to dance on Thursdays, we're still, you know, making it to church on Wednesdays. Like, we're still doing all the things that we typically do in a week's time. Right. But now we've got, you know, the hot chocolate party, or, you know, the class party, or, you know, the church gathering, or all these other additional layers of things that have to go on your calendar. Okay. And so schedules, rightfully so, can just cause so much overwhelm. And I talked about this on my Saying No in November podcast. Like, if there's no room on your schedule for you to rest and exhale the day, then like, you're not going to rest. And that immediately turns you into a stressed person. If you are not getting rest, then you are stressed. That is a bodily response. Okay. In weight loss, I tell my women, like, listen, if your life is full of chaos right now, like, you don't know up from down, do not come up in here talking about all the ways you're about to cut carbs and do all this weight loss, you know, go to the gym 100 times a week, all that. Like, do not come in here talking about all the strategies that you could attempt to lose weight until you get after that rest first. Because even if you're doing all the things that you need to be doing for your weight loss, if you are not rested, then your body is responding in stress. And when your body responds like it's in stress, it will not shed the fat anyway. Like, it just won't. It's like, oh my gosh, this lady's freaking out, she's stressed out, I'm gonna hold on to everything, I'm gonna hoard everything because I don't know what's happening. You know, I'm just trying to find my way back to equilibrium. And like, she ain't got no equilibrium right now. She has no balance, you know? And so it's a lot of crazy bodily responses that go on when we are not rested. And so then if you throw Christmas and Thanksgiving in the mix and you are already bordering, you know, very little rest time, and now you know, you're filling up your downtime with parties and plans, it can just set you over the top. Like, no wonder you are stressed the heck out and ready for the holidays to end. So here we are early on in the holiday season, and I want to encourage you and myself as well to start thinking about, you know, okay, so we know that there are certain things that are not going to change in our lives over these next several weeks. So like, I'm going to have to maybe carve out the rest day. Like, no matter what anybody says happens on Tuesdays, I might just have to say, No, Tuesdays is our only rest day for our family, and we're going to keep it. So sorry we can't make your, you know, Christmas cookie baking party. Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm saying? And so maybe looking ahead now at your schedule, going back to what I said about, you know, on the last podcast about protecting your peace, you know, literally protecting your peace as the weeks are going to demand more of you. Like, if you don't protect your time and your peace, no one is going to do it for you. So maybe looking ahead at that schedule and like blocking out I hate it when I lose my words. Just identifying specific times that you are going to say, I'm going to rest. Okay. And so I know y'all are hollering because you know what word I'm trying to think of and you're hollering at the radio. Anyway, so that, okay, scheduling, you know, time for yourself and time for your family to just kind of have some downtime, but also really thinking ahead about the actual holiday or like the actual event that you know is going to happen. Like, for instance, my family, we typically get together, like my dad's side of the whole family, we typically get together on Christmas Eve. And, you know, Jess's side of the family, we typically get together on Christmas Eve as well. And so we know Christmas Eve is a busy day for us. But really like thinking ahead now to those times and saying, okay, what am I going to do before and after, or, you know, just after anyway, to like make sure that I have some downtime. So for me, this is one thing that I did this past year, and it was a game changer. And like, Jess was looking at me like, you are a lunatic. But again, I love him and he's the most helpful husband ever, y'all. Like, don't hear me say that he doesn't help, but he doesn't understand like the level of stress and the level of overwhelm that I have around the holidays to like get everything bought for everybody. And then dad goes out like the week of and buys my gift. You know what I mean? It's just the truth. And so, because it's usually like rut around that time. So dad's in the woods, you know, while mom is dragging kids all over, you know, the busy mall trying to finish things up. And so, I think there have even been years in our marriage where I've kind of like unloaded that on him in a blaming or negative way. And he's been like, okay, like I'll do it. You know what I mean? I will give me the list of who you want me to buy for, and I will go out there and I will pick it. He said, but Constance, like, you can't be mad at me for what I pick, because I'm going to go get everybody a gift card and I'm not going to stand in the aisle and stew over it the way that you do. And he's right. And so then I'm like, well, no, I don't want you to do it. So, I mean, I have to acknowledge that it's the control freak in me, right, that wants things a certain way. I want them, you know, I want them to look and feel a type of way. And I know I don't want to go get your mom a gift card. Like, you know, like there are certain things that I know that I just like about the holidays. And I personally, like, that's okay. You know, like, I'm not going to just like be embarrassed, you know, with what I bring to the holiday, whatever, for the principle of it. But if I am going to hold myself to those standards, then I have to be like forward thinking. Okay. And so one thing that I did last year was, in our house, we do, in our house, all of our Christmas gifts are wrapped. Okay, I wrap them. I love them wrapped. I know some families, when they wake up on Christmas morning, the gifts are not wrapped, or some gifts are not wrapped, but I like them wrapped. Okay, and so it was a tradition in my household as a child, and my mom still wraps our gifts, all of them, and so that is something that I am a stickler about. Like, I really wanted our gifts wrapped for the kids, and so I started weeks before Christmas wrapping gifts and putting them up. And then like a couple, like probably a week and a half or 2 weeks, this was last year, a week and a half or 2 weeks before I started dividing them out and setting them up. And then like I set them up to look as if I wanted them to look well before it was Christmas time, Christmas morning time, okay? And I did that in preparation because in years past, now we have gone to my grandparents on Christmas Eve afternoon and then Jess's parents on Christmas Eve night, and I've noticed myself being like, all right, come on, let's get it going, let's get on, let's move on to the next thing so I can get back home, so I can wrap these gifts, so I can go to bed, you know what I mean? Because I knew the kids would be up at the crack of dawn. And so that was something that I started last year, and I just realized, oh my gosh, because when we got home, all we had to do was just like pull down boxes and like mama got to go to bed. You know what I mean? There was no figuring out what goes where for who, and there was no, you know, having to, you know, find tape and wrap it. Like, it was done. And so really that was just like one example, but really thinking ahead on those days that you know are already going to be busy, that have proven to be busy every year of your life, you know, and think about, okay, how can I make the aftermath of that or the before part of that easier? On Thanksgiving last year, I've done this several years, but I prepped as much food as I could the days before, okay, so that when I woke up on Thanksgiving morning, it was really slow moving. All I had to do was like pop some things in the oven instead of like putting things together, thawing out things, you know, whatever. And so really thinking about before and after, and then coming up with strategies for yourself to be like, okay, I'm going to exhale. I'm going to rest here. I'm going to make time for myself so that you really can enjoy that, like that moment with your family or with whoever. Also, one thing that I do in my business, which I thought is so important to talk about here around the holidays, is something that the people call batching, okay? And so I batch in my business, and I have started kind of doing this across the board in my whole life because I am not a pro at batching by any means, and especially while we were rolling out this new program, I was, you know, playing catch up. But okay, so what it is you pick like the topic, you pick whatever it is you're working on, and you do several at one time. So like our social media content, Krista and I, we do a month at a time, and then it's done. So I'm not having to think, you know, week by week, day by day, what am I going to post? For podcasts, you know, I do try to do them in a month at a time. Like, so I'll record like three or four at a time. But even further than that, I've got the topics planned all the way through January. And so right now. And so just trying to stay ahead of the game, right, makes you feel so much more like you've got it together. Even like I teach bar on Fridays, and if I wait till Thursday afternoon to write my bar workout, it is a mess. And I'm stressed and I'm overwhelmed and I can't fully think through and I can't try all the new moves I want to try because I'm just trying to get it done. But like if I start on Tuesday and I write it out, it is across the board a better experience for me on Fridays, a better experience for the clients on Fridays. And so it's just about kind of getting ahead of the schedule. And so batching can really be beneficial for holidays. Okay. So like if you are ordering something from Walmart, okay, what else is at Walmart that you could go ahead and order for the future? Or if you are planning your meals for Thanksgiving at your mother-in-law's house, could you go ahead and plan what you're going to take to your mom's house too? Could it be the same thing? Like, could you, you know, just make two hash brown casseroles instead of making a hash brown casserole for your mother-in-law's and then the green bean casserole for your mom's? Like, could you not just, you know, try to think a little further ahead and then do it in a timely manner so that it just feels like more fluid? And I think it's really hard to put that into words, but I think you understand what I mean when you feel like, okay, I've got this, I'm not last minute planning. Say, oh my gosh, y'all, okay, so this is a really great example. I make these things called caramel bars at the holiday time, and they are so good, but oh, bless, I don't know who it is, Pillsbury or somebody, no, it's whoever makes the Werther's, maybe it's Werther's, I don't know, bless the caramel people, okay? Because they have come up with these little meltable caramel balls that you pour the whole bag into a pan and you like melt it down and it is ready to go. Now, when I first started making these caramel bars, those little caramel bits is what they're called, they did not exist. So I would have to go in and individually unwrap every little caramel, soft chew caramel, to melt down. Anyway, that's a side note. We are just praising the Lord for the caramel bits, okay? Because I make these caramel bars in mass amounts. And so I started to notice about 2 years ago when I was buying these caramel bits that if I waited until right before either Thanksgiving or Christmas, if I waited until right before, like, and I'm talking like maybe the week of or whatever that I was going to cook them, they were none. You could not find them anywhere. And so, and those are the unwrappable kinds, you know, like caramel, whatever bits or chews are not just, there's not just a plethora of them on the market. And so, One year, Jess had to go all over town. Like, he went 30 minutes every which way trying to find them for me. And so after that, I was like, I will never do this again. I will never wait until the last minute again. And so I started buying them in like September and October. So right now, current day, I have got a ton of caramel bits in my pantry because I thought ahead. Okay. I just went ahead while I was at Walmart one day, saw them, grabbed a bunch of them. I batched those in with my groceries and didn't have to think about it again. So just thinking about like maybe what you notice yourself doing a lot during the holidays and could you just kind of put it all together? Like wrapping, you know what I mean? Like, are you wrapping a couple presents a night? Could you not just like cut out an entire evening and just wrap it all, you know? That's another thing I do. When I wrap, baby, it is wrapping time. And I pull Jess Shelby in and we are covered in tape and paper and everything else. I think I've harped on schedules enough, but really thinking, because I personally believe, and if you are a client of mine, you know it. Like, if you have a plan, yeah, the plan may not always go the way you want it to, but the plan makes you feel like you're not losing your flipping mind day to day. You can always come back to the plan. Even if, you know, it went crazy yesterday, you at least know today what's on the plan. And so, you know, a schedule for me is top notch. So also, but along with this, when you've got this, the crazy schedules happening, the parties, all the things going on, really make sure to take some time and figure out, okay, what keeps you sane? Like, what keeps you afloat during like the weeks that are not crazy busy, but are, you know, normal life busy? And keep those, okay? I noticed so much during the holidays that people let go of their exercise routine. Like, y'all, the gym is crickets in December. And I get it. Like, you're at you know, JCPenney or whatever instead of being at the gym after work. I get that because you're shopping. But, like, if that is what keeps you sane otherwise, maybe we should try to fit it in. You know what I mean? If that's what keeps your mental capacity at rest, then like maybe you should try to fit it in. Same with quiet time. Like, you find yourself sleeping later and that, you know, the sun rising later doesn't help. But like, are you missing your quiet time during the holiday season? Or, you know, really thinking, I don't know what it is for you. For me, it's definitely exercise and the quiet time. Like, those are the first to go when I'm feeling overwhelmed. And those are honestly the last things that need to go for me to not be overwhelmed. It's so dumb. It's so dumb to even like the way I just said that. But, you know, it is what it is. It's the first to go and it's the most important for me. And so really trying to focus in on what keeps you sane and keep that around, even if it's not as often. Don't let go of it completely. So another thing that I feel like is super stressful for people during the holidays is finances. I mean, and I feel like this year, I am so interested, y'all, because not only are groceries up, everything's up. And so there is so much to spend money on, okay? Like, there's so, not just like, aside from buying gifts for people And you know, aside from that, that alone, like, we need to start saving in, you know, January for the following December. But there's also just additional expenses, okay? Events to spend money on, charity that you want to give to, you know, extra food for the gatherings. Like, there is so much extra expense. And y'all, I will never forget this, but Jess and I had been married. It was our first Christmas, and I just felt like, okay, this is what we do. This is what we do. Y'all, I was spoiled rotten growing up. I mean, my daddy and my mom just, like, they spoiled us to death. And so and my mom tried so hard to, like, teach us, like, budget and finances. And I mean, I did learn, you know, some, but I didn't quite, you never fully understand until you're, like, broke as a joke and a newlywed, right? And so we were newlywed, and it was our first Christmas, and I was just like, this is Christmas. This is what we do. And, like, I bought gifts, and keep in mind, I had probably not had a full-time job, but for a few months, maybe, I don't even know, because when we first got married, I wasn't working full-time. I had just gotten out of college, or just gotten out of my internship, and was working on taking my RD exam. And anyway, so we just, all to say, we just were not rolling in the dough by any means. And I racked up our credit card like you would not believe. And Jess was a nightmare to be married to, because it stressed him out so bad. And in my mind, I was thinking, like, isn't this just what people do? Like, I had no idea, but I just thought, surely people don't save up all this money for Christmas. So, like, don't they just put it on the credit card? And he's like, absolutely, they do not. And I asked my mom, and she's like, no way. But it was too late. You know what I mean? Like, I had already just bought all these gifts for everybody that I could even think of. And partly because, you know, I was wanting to, like, be really kind and giving, because so many people had been so kind and giving to us during our wedding season. And anyway, so all that to say, in that first year, and even, I mean, I'm not going to say it was just that first year. It was many years after that. And to this day, Jess, we're going to do a Christmas podcast, Jess and I, later on in December. And he will tell you that I am the most ridiculous gift giver ever, because I love to give to other people. Like, I just love to see them get things from me. You know what I mean? And so, but all that to say that I have had to learn that, like, okay, we're going to have a budget. And so now I start early. Right now, I mean, I've had it for weeks already. I have a note in my phone of not only ideas for what to buy people, but also, like, what I've kind of already bought and the price there. Because Jess and I have set a limit for how much we're going to spend on the kids, how much we're going to allow ourselves to spend on our families. Like, there just has to be a budget. Because for me, anyway, now you may be different, but for me, if there wasn't a budget, there would not be a budget. You know what I mean? I would just go and go and go until, you know, we were living in a box. I will say that I have learned about myself that around the holidays specifically, some of my biggest financial mistakes are impulse purchases. So, like, Black Friday, I go looking for the deals, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, this is on sale. Surely so-and-so would love that. And then it's like a bust, and, you know, it's not what they would have wanted anyway, but I found a deal on it and I bought it, and then I can't return it. All the things, you know. We have an event here local that's called Mistletoe Marketplace, and it's just for a few days, and it's humongous, and there's vendors everywhere, and you walk from booth to booth to booth, and you buy things. You know, it's really a fun event. Like, we love it. My sisters and I live for it. But I have learned when I am there, if I see things that are, like, you know, of course that's the vendor's job, right? Is to be like, look at this, you know, this is the newest and best and cutest thing. I have learned to walk away. And then if I really would like it, I will come back. You know, that in itself is a game changer. It's what I teach with food too. Like, if someone shows up with donuts in the break room unexpectedly, don't just grab one immediately. Go back to your desk. You know, if you've already had breakfast and all the things, like, it would just be an impulse grab. Go back to your desk, get to work, you know. And then if you really decide, okay, it's worth it and I can fit this into my day, and you really want it that bad, go back and have it. But like, if it's usually, you know, or more times than not, you can get some sense about yourself when you walk away and say like, okay, maybe I don't need that, you know, or I know I'm going to have drinks after work with my friends. And so I already know, you know, I'm going to have that treat today, that kind of thing. And so it's the same for me, like with spending money. I need to walk away and like, it's so ridiculous. A lot of times I'll be like, Sarah Mason already has something like that. Why was I even going to buy that? Or, you know, whatever. And so really just, again, dialing in, getting ahead of it, thinking about your budget, thinking about what charity you want to give to, thinking about, you know, the food, like I just said, you know, come up with your menu so maybe you can catch something on sale or whatever. And just that in itself makes you feel more in control, and it makes you feel more at ease with the whole, you know, thing. And, you know, that is, I am, Lord have mercy, knows I am not the one to come up here and tell you how to budget and how to, you know, not spend so much money on Christmas. But I am really learning this as the years go, and it is really helping me. And I think Jess would say that I'm doing much better than I was 12 years ago when we first got married. And so the next stressor, I think it's a big one, and I think it can be in like all different areas, like all different ways of life, and that is people pleasing. Okay, so again, back to the finances, like, are you trying to spend more money than you really have to spend on, like, your second cousin at Christmas because you want them to think a type of way about you, or you want, you know, anyone else who sees them open it to think a type of way, or you just want them to be thankful for you or whatever. Like, are you going about the holiday season really thinking about how it's going to look to others? I think we all do this to an extent. Like, it is in this world of total, you know, social media crazy. It is insane to say that, like, we don't kind of care about other people's views, you know what I mean? But I think there is a low-key care that we can have, but there's also, like, if that is your driver for the decisions you make and the things you do and the way you dress and what you buy, and, you know, that is a problem. And it's not, it's a problem. I mean, it's the biggest problem for you. You know what I mean? Because how does one live that way and feel at peace? And so if you find yourself just like trying to get the best gift, or, oh my goodness, having the cutest Christmas decoration. I feel like when the Christmas decoration trends change, you know, then it's like, this is me. This is a me thing. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to this year, I feel like the trend is nutcracker, pastel-y, like pinks and blues. And I'm just like, oh, I have been waiting all my life for this to be the Christmas colors, y'all. I mean, pink and blue and like the pastel colors and nutcrackers, like, it is my most favorite theme. And you ask anybody, they would say that was the case, you know, 20 years ago. But now that it's here, now that it's everywhere, you know, at the stores, I'm like, oh, I need to buy that. And so, you know, and so am I doing that as a way of like how it's going to look, you know, how my house is going to look? I'm going to look, you know, like I've got the most updated and cutest stuff, or, you know, what is it? And so, same with like, when you're volunteering to show up and help, or when you're, you know, opting in to go to that Christmas party, like, are you pressuring yourself just because you don't want to, quote, let people down, or you want, you know, to be viewed a certain way? So when this is really hilarious. So early, again, y'all, I just had this idea about how Christmas should be when Jess and I first got married. And so part of it was I believed that Christmas season was about, other than having to, you know, spend all the money and all the things, I believed that it was about cooking and baking treats to give out to everyone. Okay. And so let me backtrack. So my grandmother did this, my dad's mom, and my mom's mom, like both my grandmothers did this at Christmas time. Like they would get up in that kitchen and spend forever. Actually, my mom's dad really did it too. Like a lot. Cause he made candy, like homemade candy. Oh my gosh. Incredible. And so my mama did, like all my people did this. Okay. So then my mama got to where, you know, she got a little older and couldn't do it as much. So then my aunt took it on. And so my aunt lived right up the road from us. And so my sisters and I went over there, and it was like Operation Christmas season up in her kitchen. Like we were baking and making everything. And it's like the best memories, okay, of my childhood, like such good memories. But Jess and I moved, you know, 35, 40 minutes away, and I didn't have an army of elves in my kitchen the way that we did with my aunt, you know? And so, but I still held myself to the standard of making all these different candies and cakes and cookies and all the things that are typically made in my mind at Christmas time because of the traditions that we held. And so, my poor husband was, and probably still is, so scarred by me in the first, you know, year at least, probably two or three Christmases at least, because I would get in the kitchen and try to be that person that I thought I needed to be, because it was all I've ever known about Christmas baking. And I was like, in my mind, it was, I'm going to take these treats to my coworkers. I'm going to send these treats to Jess's coworkers. I'm going to give some to my neighbors. So I'm like, in my mind, I have all this stuff to bake and hand out. But like, y'all, I could not bake. Like, I could not cook very well. Like, I was always trying to do the most complex things, and like still could not hardly make rice without ruining it, okay? Because I don't know. I always shoot for the stars, I guess. I don't know. So I was always in that kitchen burning things, overflowing things, like hurting myself, like ruining pans. And I mean, Jess Shelby, by like our third Christmas together, was like, no, my coworkers do not need any fudge. No, baby, they don't need haystacks. No. Because I would start out with such great intentions and set myself up to, you know, please these people. But then when I actually got in the kitchen and was screwing it up left and right, what was it then? It was stress. It was overwhelm. It was meltdowns, you know, and running back to Kroger for more ingredients to try again. And so then that intention that it started with very quickly turned to misery for both Jess and I. Now, I cannot sit here and say that I snapped out of it and stopped trying to people please. What I can say is I got better at my baking and my cooking, you know, and it's something that I now, present day, 12 years later, it is my most peaceful place. You can ask anybody close to me. I'm like, I'm getting in the kitchen today. Don't bother me. Like, it's my most peaceful place to be. And I know that's not the same for other people, you know, but it is for me. And so now I've gotten that training or that practice under my belt. But what I should have done back in the early days was just say, you know what, I'm going to go down here to this. We have tons of cute little bakeries and different candies, like homemade candy type shops. Like, I could have easily just bought some Happies to hand out to people if I felt like I needed to do that. But honestly, I just, even, you know, rewinding back further, I should not have set out such a big goal to please people that they honestly probably threw half of it in the garbage because they had so much already. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just shouldn't have set myself that standard. But, you live and you learn. And now, yeah, I must, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm not going to bake all the good things this holiday season, but it will come from a more comfortable place. But all that to say, like, if there's some, there's an area that you're not comfortable with, do not shoot for the stars. Do not be me and try to, you know, bake these Christmas goodies and you've never done that before. Or, you know, do not set out to buy like the most perfect gift for someone on December 23rd, because it will make you, like, just the crowd alone will make you lose your flipping mind. And so really thinking about, you know, about what is your motive here? Because I know my motive in those first few years was to prove something of myself, to prove that, like, I could do this just like, you know, my mom, my aunt, my grandmother, my other grandmother, my grandfather, like, I could do this. Like, I was wanting to prove myself. And so that was not the good place to come from in that season. And so anyway, that was a little bit of a rant, some life lessons mixed in with this podcast today. But the next one I want to kind of move into is something that can really cause some emotion and some stress and just all around, you know, feelings, I guess, is grief during the holiday season. And so I am not an expert here. I don't know a whole lot about, like, deep grief during the holidays. But I do know that, like, disconnecting from yourself and trying to avoid the pain is not going to solve any problems. Okay. So this is me encouraging you, like, if you are getting ready or to walk into this holiday season with some new grief, that you have not had in the past holiday seasons, this is just me encouraging you to allow yourself to feel those emotions. Like, allow yourself to say, like, I am grieving. Yes, it's the holidays. Yes, it's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, but it's not for me. Like, I'm emotional. I am sad. I am overwhelmed. Like, I want this to be over. You know what I mean? It's just even admitting that to yourself instead of just trying to trick yourself into thinking that you can go, you know, do the traditions as usual or, you know, go along as if nothing's happened. Like, that's it's all that is a train wreck waiting to happen for you. And so set the boundaries, like set the boundaries that you need. Like, you have permission to attend or permission to not attend, like whatever feels best for you when you are trying to work through that grief. And then, like, also reach out. I know that I am not equipped to fix it because none of us are, but I know that if someone in my life is grieving, I want them to call on me. Like, I want to comfort them. I want to just be there for them. You know, and I feel so helpless and it's in my innate nature to want to fix it, but I know that I cannot. But that doesn't mean that I still don't want to show up for you. You know what I mean? So, like, if you feel like you need a friend, reach out. Even if it's just like, hey, can you come sit and wrap these gifts with me? Like, I don't feel comfortable doing my normal tradition of gift wrapping by myself. And so I feel like, you know, while I've had some grief in my life for sure, one thing that really stands out to me is when I was in the fourth grade, my dad's sister died. And that, like, that Christmas, I remember as a fourth grader kind of being frustrated because I wanted that Christmas to be like every other Christmas. Like, I was a child and I loved Christmas and I look forward to it. But for my dad and his sisters and my grandmother and, like, my aunt's children, you know, who had seen her pass, like, it wasn't a normal Christmas. And so we did not treat it as such. You know, we did not act like, no one just said, like, we're just going to suck it up and keep moving on. No, like, we treated it differently so that as a 10-year-old or whatever, I didn't quite understand, but now I do looking back. It was so that the adults in my life that were deeply pained still, so that they could process it the way they needed to process it. And so, you know, because it felt like almost to them, like if we went in and we pretended like everything was the same and we held the same traditions as we usually did, then to them it felt like, okay, we're disrespecting her. And so that day, like opening presents with the family was different. We went to the gravesite on Christmas Eve. Like, we did whatever they needed to do to cope. And so, like, I just feel like, again, it took me a while to get to this place to, you know, respect it in the way that I do now. But I just feel like it is so important to do what you need to do to be okay with the season that you're in grief. And sometimes, y'all, that is just not, it is not showing up and faking it just for everybody else's sake. You know what I mean? And so, like, after my miscarriage, Jess and I handled, because we miscarried on Labor Day weekend. And so that Christmas, we slowed our pace. Like, we did some things differently for ourselves. And, you know, there have been times where, like, my mom, when she lost her parents, our Christmas morning that you know, season after looked differently. And she, like, allowed herself to move slower. My mom is, like, the Christmas queen, you know, like, she's usually up handing out the gifts and da 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 da, like can't slow down, you know, just is like her jam. She loves it. And but that Christmas, she was not the Christmas queen. She, you know, acknowledged that she was sad and, you know, that things didn't look the same, because usually my grandparents would be there with us, right? Because they lived out of town, or they would be on FaceTime with us. And so, I mean, I don't know. I can't express it enough that, like, if you feel like walking into this holiday season that something isn't right and it isn't the same, if it isn't the same, don't force yourself to make it the same, and do what you need to do to be comfortable. I mean, grief is not comfortable by any means, but do what you need to do to be comfortable in this situation as you are also dealing with your grief. And I don't think that's said enough. And then I just want to move into this last one, which is eating, y'all. Man, we turn to the food. We turn to the food for a lot of different reasons in general, but especially during the holidays. We can, you know, turn to food for, like I just talked about, like comfort during grief or comfort during stress, or, you know, we turn to the food because we're just looking for that quick feel good that high fat, high sugar foods do give us, you know. But also we tend to kind of grab more junk when we're stressed, when we feel like the clock is ticking. We also tend to not take the time to, like, prep our normal healthy meals or eat our salad. We, you know, we're like, I need a burger and fries so I can eat it on the go, like that kind of thing. And so we tend to just grab more junk when we're stressed because, again, we feel like that clock is ticking. Or we turn to food all the time, but specifically during the holiday seasons, out of reward. Like, if you got your kids dressed for the holiday, you know, play, and you, you know, got presents bought, and you battled the traffic, and, you know, and you made it to your aunt's holiday party on time, you could arrive feeling like, baby, I'm about to drink all that wine and I'm about to eat all that dip because I have survived the day. You know, like, we feel that way. And so oftentimes we find ourselves feeling like we deserve a reward for surviving the holiday season more often than we do, you know, the other seasons of the year. And so, you know, we see ourselves turn into food more often that way. Or this one's my favorite. And we talk about this a lot in our group. But we turn to food out of nostalgia. You know, like, there are things, like, just recently I posted and I asked my girls, like, hey, what kind of remakes are we wanting to, you know, try for Thanksgiving? I'm getting ready to do some more recipes for our girls. And I'm like, listen, like, think about it realistically. Like, do not give me your grandmother's, you know, chess pie recipe and then ask me to remake it skinny. Because, like, it's not going to be the same, like, without this 3 sticks of butter. You know what I mean? It's not going to be the same as your grandmother who you loved and adored, who's no longer with us. Like, it's not going to be the same. And so sometimes we just turn to food out of that nostalgia. And that's okay. Okay? That if that is a way to deal with your emotion or to just feel those warm and fuzzies that come from the memories, that is okay. You know what I mean? And so I think more than anything, when we talk about eating and eating being stressed, eating causing stress, it can be one of two ways, right? We can walk into the holidays and we can feel like, oh my gosh, I just know I'm going to gain 10 pounds this holiday season like I did last year. And you can feel that low-key stress all holiday long because you're anticipating yourself repeating history, okay? Or you can use food as the filler for the stress. So it's one or the other. Like, we can either stress out, you know, before the damage has even been done, or we can mindlessly, like, kind of force ourselves to do the damage. Okay. And so I don't think that here there's really, and like, again, this episode isn't long enough to talk about the deep specifics, but like, I think the most important thing for all of it, for all of the things that I just said about eating, is to just remember that, like, just because you did it today doesn't mean you have to do it tomorrow. Okay. Just because you came in the house and grabbed a sugar cookie and ate it after being really stressed out from traffic on the way home doesn't mean that tomorrow morning you need to just go ahead and, you know, have the Christmas breakfast, you know, fixins that someone brought on random, you know, after you already had breakfast and you're not even hungry anyway. Like, my biggest piece of advice here is to just take each day, each moment, each food, you know, each food experience as it comes. Because we can set out to say, I'm going to try really hard not to, like, use food as a reward during the holiday season, or I'm going to try really hard not to leave junk sitting out on the counter, and I'm going to try really hard not to turn to food, you know, in comfort or in boredom or in stress. But, like, there may be a day or a week or, you know, several days or whatever that you go back on your word. And, like, that doesn't mean that you've failed the whole entire holiday season. That means that you just had some food in a moment of stress, or you just had some food when you felt like you had a tough day and needed a reward, or you just had some food when your mom brought over your grandmother's chess pie. Like, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. And I think that's where we kind of, as we walk through the holiday, like, it kind of starts with Thanksgiving. You're like, okay, I'm going to really try not to eat so terribly this Thanksgiving. I'm really going to try to stay in my same jeans this holiday season. And then, oh, but then you get there and you forgot about how good the food looks, or you get there and you forgot to eat, so you're really extra hungry. And so then you find yourself stuffed at the end of Thanksgiving. Okay. And so then you move into the next week and y'all start having holiday parties at work. And so you're like, well, I mean, you know, I thought I was going to try to do good this holiday season, but then I blew it on Thanksgiving. So I may as well go ahead and eat this leftover, you know, dressing that somebody brought up to work, or, you know, and then the week passes by and you're like, I may as well eat these sugar cookies that, you know, someone gave us, or, you know, you see what I'm saying? It evolves. Whereas you can really just say, like, man, I had bigger hopes for myself for Thanksgiving, but, like, I kind of know what went wrong. I kind of know that I, you know, should have eaten before I came, or, you know, I kind of forgot that I love Aunt Susie's green bean casserole so much, or whatever it is. And then it's just like you wake up the next day and you're back at it. You're back in the right mindset. Like, that's where the disconnect is. Even if what we'll say 30 days of the holiday season, even if 25 of those days you, quote, mess up, if you stay on track for the other five, you are winning, okay? Because you didn't say, well, I messed up 25 days in a row, I may as well just find some junk to eat today too. Like, you didn't say that. You stood strong, you stayed focused, and you had 5 days of wins, right? And so I just, that's the reminder I want to give you as we walk through, you know, the holidays and turning to food and, you know, remembering that, yes, we can enjoy the things we want to enjoy, but also remembering that the food is not the foundation for the comfort that we need. The food is not the reward that you need. You know, the food is not even the nostalgia. You know, that one's a hard one, but the food is not going to, you know, replace that memory from 20 years ago. You know, it can get you close, but it's not going to give you that same exact memory. So just kind of keeping that in perspective, but then also giving yourself the grace when maybe you did not keep it in perspective. You know what I mean? Because sometimes it just be like that. I mean, it just be like that sometimes, y'all. And here I am, weight loss coach, training, you know, 300 plus members, like, been doing this for however many years. Like, I've been a dietitian for, my gosh, how long? 15 years now, and I'm still saying it just be like that sometimes. Sometimes I'm just gonna overeat out of exhaustion or stress, or, you know, it was really freaking good. And then, like, you just get over it, okay, instead of sitting in it. And so remembering more than anything that grace for yourself and for others during the holidays, waking up every day anew, you know, because that's what it's about. Jesus came, he saved us, okay? We are covered all up in his grace. And so now we can just accept it when the days or plans don't go as expected, or, you know, we can give it when it seems like other people might be having tougher days too, you know? And I think if we just kind of, if we come back to that foundation of grace, grace in every single day for ourselves and for others, then it will make the holiday season a lot more manageable, a lot more enjoyable. And, you know, hopefully we can come out on the other side, not broke, overweight, stress, people pleasing, you know, all the things. And so, yeah, I hope I enjoyed this one today, just kind of talking on the holidays and all the things. I hope you enjoyed it as well. Here we go, y'all. Here comes the holidays. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Say Grace Podcast. If you enjoyed it, it would mean the world to me if you left me a 5-star review. Also, make sure to follow the show so you don't miss another episode. Plus, if you're interested in learning more about losing weight and eating the food you love, make sure to subscribe to my email list by going to perfectfitnutrition.com. See ya!